everyone. I'm Susie Sevier.
And I'm Michael Barnhart. Welcome to the Adventures of a Real Estate Investor podcast, where we interview industry experts and chat with them about their passions and how they are leveraging real estate investing to create an impact in their world. What impact do you want to make?
Did you know there are almost 8 billion people on this planet? What if each of us started with ourselves, with our family, in our community? All we have to do is start with a manageable 1% action every day. The effect of those billions of 1% gestures would be astronomical. This is your place to reflect and believe. Join us every week to start cultivating those ideas on the impact that you want to make in your world. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Adventures of a Real Estate Investor. But it's not just another episode. We're on the 97th episode.
That's right.
And episode 97. Close to 100. I just think it's super cool. But anyways, I'm Susie.
And I'm Michael. And we're excited you joined us for this adventure today. So today's podcast is talking all about the 2023 multifamily outlook. So just to recap, the past two episodes, this is a three-part series. This is the third episode in a three-part series where the past two episodes have talked about how the current economy is affecting multifamily. Specifically, episode 95, we looked into interest rates, current interest rates, and what their effect has on multifamily. Episode 96 talked about inflation and what that effect has on multifamily. And so today we're going to kind of bring all that together and we're going to discuss the 2023 multifamily outlook.
Episode 97.
And so just to reiterate, Susie and I are not economists. However, we do read quite a bit of information out there because we think it's very pertinent to our industry being multifamily operators. And so we want to share those resources with you today. What we've read, what we've looked at, what we've listened to in order to bring this episode together for you, the Adventurous Family. So the resources are CoStar, Marcus & Millichap, Capital Economics, the Federal Reserve, Freddie Mac, Moody's Analytics. And we talk a lot about Freddie Mac, Moody's Analytics today, actually. Bankers Association, National Association of Home Builders, National Associations of Realtors, Pew Research, RealPage Incorporated, the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, and the U.S. Census Bureau.
Something I do want to add also, though, is that, yes, Michael and I read all of this information and find these topics very interesting and relevant. As Michael mentioned, because we are multifamily operators, we also find it very interesting and relevant because we are also passive investors. And because of that, we want to see the data from both points of view so that we can invest actively and passively in the best way possible. But with that, today in this episode, we are going to discuss 5 different topics to explain the 2023 multifamily outlook. So stay for all of them because they actually are quite fascinating. First one, current state of multifamily, which is always all over the place. So that's pretty fun to talk about. The growing economic uncertainty, the current multifamily performance. Number 4 is 3 reasons why apartments perform well during a recession or an economic downturn. And last but not least, how we are looking at deals during this time and what investors should expect.
Absolutely. So moving right along, the first one, the current state of multifamily. So economic conditions at the end of 2022 slowed significantly compared with earlier in the year, as expected, right? So the multifamily market started to moderate in the second half of the year, reaching an inflection point as the market slowed from the record-setting performance earlier in 2022, because the Fed started raising interest rates in the second quarter, basically. And that kind of continued throughout the rest of the year. The strength of the apartment market in mid to late 2021 through mid 2022 was absolutely incredible and very remarkable, right?
There's so much happening.
What a wild ride. You know, it's like the 8 seconds of bull riding, right? You just grab it, hold on as long as you can. Anyways, with a majority of the market seeing more rent growth during that time than the 5 years leading up to 2020.
So with all of that, now that we are going into, 2023, this is a super great time to question super rosy performer projections. When you are seeing deals come out, you really want to ask for stress tests. You want to ask about data that the sponsors have used to project their numbers. Like, look for lending creativity during these times, or projects that don't show a lot of rent growth immediately, because we really have no clue what's going to happen in this next year, right? Like, it's really just all a 2023 outlook, but we do know how we can be like safe and conservative during this time. So Freddie Mac and Moody's Analytics currently forecast growth returning to the multifamily market in 2023. Because of that, it could support rent growth and vacancy rates near historical averages by the end of 2023. So look out for those things. Like, the labor market is going to be one of those key drivers of that forecast, which is expected to slow as we hear, right? Because of this looming recession that might occur, but it'll still remain healthy enough to create a housing demand later in the year. So because of this strong rent growth, and then coupled with low vacancy rates, and especially what we've seen over the past 12 to 18 months, it could provide a really robust financial buffer if multifamily performance slows in the short term. And like, as an active and passive investor, it is okay if it slows, because we've given room in our projections, or some operators have, but like, you can see that there, it's given room for those fluctuations. And so if it does slow, that is definitely not something to worry about, because as I've mentioned before, like, what comes up must come down, but then also must go back up again. So it's just like this flow of what has continued. So with prolonged higher interest rates, it has also increased cap rates, putting a downward pressure on property valuation, which sellers don't like, and which then makes it really difficult for buyers. It's this really great carousel, I guess is a great way to put it,
sure,
that we're all on. However, like, multifamily is still well positioned as a preferred asset class. Like, Michael and I will say it over and over and over again. Like, it's favored by investors because of the demographics and the robust labor market leading to household formations. So again, like I mentioned, ask for those stress tests, and as a sponsor, provide those stress tests so that you are giving like passive investors a peace of mind.
Yeah, absolutely. And so just to kind of reiterate as well what Susie's mentioning here, Susie talked about the prolonged interest rates and the increase in cap rates. I'll get into this a little bit later on in this discussion, but we do have prolonged interest rates right now. And even though that is putting a pressure on cap rates, we haven't seen as much pressure on cap rates as we expected, despite the increase in interest rates. And that's just because it all depends on what market you're in, of course, and other economic drivers in that market. And we'll get into that a little bit later, but hold that thought until
then.
Thank you. Yeah. Now moving into the second topic we kind of want to discuss, and that is the growing economic uncertainty. So despite a negative GDP in the first and second quarters of 2022, the US GDP rebounded and grew at an estimated annualized rate of 3.8% for 2022, at the end of 2022, basically. We believe this is, or economists believe, and the data supports that this is likely attributable to a strong labor market, which is one of the key factors in determining if a recession has occurred, according to the National Bureau of Economic Research. And as of November 2022, Moody Analytics reports that there is about a 55% chance of recession before the end of 2023, which is similar to their prediction from mid-year of 2022. However, they predict that if a recession does occur, it will likely be a mild and relatively short-lived recession, and expected to begin towards the middle of 2023, just because how strong the labor market is currently.
Yeah, and I know I've kind of talked about this before, and as Michael just said, like, the labor market does still remain strong despite some changes in the technology industry, which is something I really highlighted in the last episode, where majority of the layoffs in November of 2022 were all in the tech industry. And because of this, the driving wage was increasing up to 6.4% over the past year as of November 2022, whereas in 2019, it was only 3.6%. So like I said, like, the labor market still remains very, very, very strong. And although year-over-year inflation rates are coming down from their peak, thank goodness, it's still at the highest it's been since the 1980s, which is still a big deal. And the demand for many goods outpaces supply. But as I've said before, what goes up must come down. I really like that saying right now. So inflation growth is expected to continue to moderate by the second half of the year. With that, inflation is projected to slow down to about 3 to 4%. And that is according to Moody's Analytics. And that's definitely something much better than what we've been experiencing for the past, 6 months.
Absolutely. All right, moving right along. Now we're at our third topic, which is getting into current multifamily performance. Okay, so let's dive into this. So looking at the metro level rent growth in the past 3 months, as of October 2022, RealPage reports just under half of the top 50 markets saw a rent decline. Some of the hottest markets during the pandemic are now seeing the steepest rent declines. Markets like Phoenix, Las Vegas, and Austin have all seen negative rent declines over the past 3 months. They shot up super quick during, end of 2020, 2021, but now they're coming down very, very steep as well. While the better performing markets were generally smaller Midwestern markets. Imagine that. Such as Oklahoma City and Tulsa. Yeah. I'll get into some more data about Oklahoma City and Tulsa here in a second. But those two cities were kind of passed over by this pandemic boom. Yes, we saw an increase in rent growth. Yes, it was historical levels of rent growth. However, it was not, 40%. Sustained double digit, right? Like I think Austin at one point had almost 100% rent growth or something ridiculous like that the past, from 2020 to 2021, stuff like that. So yeah, anyways, that's why we love Oklahoma City and Tulsa. We love those markets.
Yeah, in case you didn't know.
Yeah, because they just have slow, steady population, job growth, job income growth, things like that. We'll get into that in a second. But anyways, these declines in rent growth are linked directly to gross income growth or lack thereof, right? So in fact, Phoenix and Las Vegas are two metros experiencing the highest negative income growth year to date. And it is directly affecting rent growth. You can't have it both, right? You can't have negative income growth and increase rents at the same time, right? So
yeah, just creates a strain on all the renters. And while we're a lot of us are in multifamily, to be able to create a return, we're also not in it so that we are putting renters in a huge financial strain. Like that just defeats the entire purpose. Mm-hmm. But so commercial real estate and multifamily in particular are seen as a hedge against rising inflation because the rents are reset annually and it can adjust to higher inflation. However, this is only true in markets that are experiencing an increase in gross income, mm-hmm. exactly what Michael just mentioned. So according to Moody Analytics and Freddie Mac, the top 10 metros for 2023 annualized growth in gross income are Oklahoma City at number one, which is at 6%. And then Tulsa is tied at number two with 5.4%. So just makes my heart so happy because the US average is 3.5%, thus confirming our analysis of these strong, steady markets the whole entire time, which I just love. I just love it so much.
It's really cool. It's really cool that they're in the top two there. Basically, because of the rest, if you look at those, you can go look at the Freddie Mac report here, but the top 10 metros, five of those metros are actually in Florida. And then the other two are in Oklahoma, which is really cool.
Yeah. And in our show notes, we'll add the report so that you can see all of this data so that you know too, exactly what we're talking about or referencing from.
Exactly. Yeah. So just to move along here. So Freddie Mac and Moody's Analytics think that one of the biggest risks to the multifamily market's performance in 2023 is the state of the labor market throughout the next year. If the Fed achieves the soft landing that they're wanting without a large impact to the job market, consumer confidence will return and household formations will rebound. Household formations meaning, people moving into new places, moving out of their parents into their own place, things like that. That's considered a household formation. They expect those household formations will rebound, but most likely not until mid to late 2023. However, the chance of recession still remains elevated and will be throughout 2023, as we mentioned previously as well. And as Susie mentioned as well, just to reiterate this, their analytics, if a recession happens, expect it to be much milder, which would point to potentially similar patterns in gross income growth, with some markets seeing negative growth whilst others significantly increasing. So we might see pockets of recessions happening, kind of like we saw in, we saw in 2008. Yes, there was the Great Recession, 2008, 2009, but more, certain markets were hit as greater than other markets, right? So we might see something similar to that happen if the recession was to happen in 2023, right? Such as, as we just discussed, right? Phoenix and Las Vegas, these other markets that are experiencing negative income growth, those markets could be affected by a recession because they are currently negative income growth. So while markets that have positive income growth might not be affected too much.
No, thanks, Michael, for that. So now moving out of the current multifamily performance, we're going to move into the fourth topic, which is three reasons why apartments perform well during a recession or an economic downturn. So the first reason is high demand, but that is always in the right markets. So Michael and I carefully choose markets with steady job and population growth. We have been told before, no, we are not going to invest with you because we don't see the data there. But Michael and I truly believed, right? And everyone sees something different, that it was there. So these factors create demand for apartments that will persist through economic downturns. And it is imperative to research how resilient a market and submarket are due to a recession with investing in a multifamily space. And that is really why we do love these two Midwest markets.
Yeah, absolutely. The second reason why apartments perform well during a recession is cost of living, right? So as we mentioned previously in a different episode, the cost of buying a home has increased dramatically due to rising home prices and increased interest rates. Many people cannot afford to buy a home, so they rent instead. This creates massive demand for apartments in specific markets. People always need a place to live, even during a recession. Rents have also increased substantially. However, in the markets that we invest in, there is a significant gap between rents for apartments versus home ownership, which is excellent for apartment owners and our investors. So high interest rates are further increasing this gap, which will put more upward pressure on the percentage of renters across the nation. Okay, and the third and final reason why multifamily performs well during a recession is force appreciation. We always look for opportunities where we can force appreciation. So as owners and operators, we are constantly searching for ways to decrease expenses or increase income without pricing out our residents, which increases retention rates as well. So by increasing our net operating income, we are increasing our cash flow and increasing our debt service coverage, ensuring that we are operating comfortably and won't be strained during a recession if one ends up happening.
Thank you, Michael. So the fifth and final topic is how we are looking at deals during this time and what investors should expect. So to reiterate, cap rates have been slow to respond to the higher treasury rates, and this is due to the natural lag in cost of debt to valuation. So what does really that all mean? So price discovery can take several months, and when rates move up and down throughout that period, it will take longer for the market to come to an understanding of pricing. And by the market, we really just mean like sellers and buyers, like trying to figure out what is the best when we have two different ideas of what best is. And so due to the continued gross income growth seen throughout 2022, leading to a lower chance of distressed properties, there is little motivation for owners to negotiate a discount to valuation.
So what Susie is talking about there is basically sellers are still keeping their prices high, even though interest rates have gone up. So what does that mean for us? That means there are fewer deals on the market. A lot of sellers are actually taking deals off the market. We're seeing lower or less deal flow across our desks now. However, the deals that we are seeing coming across our desks, we have to be very strategic in acquiring them. So one of the things is we are getting very creative with offers, meaning that a lot of the offers that we're writing these days have a substantial amount of seller financing or seller carryback, meaning that you have the senior debt on the property, but then on top of the senior debt, you have a mezzanine debt or seller carryback or seller financing where they can carry some part of the financing at a lower rate, right? So for example, we put an LOI on an offer where we're going to take about 50% of the loan to value, which will be the senior debt. And then we're going to ask the seller to carry back additional $3 million at about 5%, which effectively reduces our cost of capital. So then the amount we have to raise is a smaller amount on top of that, you know, raising from our investors, because the investor cost of capital is significantly higher than it would be for the seller to carry back an amount, right? So we're getting very creative right now with prices where they're at, because the thing about it is appraisals are still staying high as well. Mm-hmm. Even though interest rates have gone up, which should reduce cash flow, appraisals are still staying high, which is allowing sellers to still demand higher prices, if you will. So we can typically, you know, which is just making us be more creative with financing and making to try to get deals to work. So what does this mean for investors and what they should expect during this time? They should expect slightly lower returns, right? Because we're expecting a lower cash flow because of increased interest rates. So you're going to expect lower cash on cash returns, again, due to higher interest rates, reducing cash flow, and lower equity multiples compared to the advertised returns in 2020 and 2021, just because that was a wild and crazy time where interest rates were so low and prices were still so low, they haven't really caught up. And so you could expect higher returns, higher cash flow, and things like that during 2020, 2021. However, because of the higher interest rates, that is kind of evaporated now. Still get great returns that outpacing the stock market by a long shot, considering at the end of 2022, most of the stocks were down while all of our investments were up, which is nice.
Yeah. And I was just going to add to that, like, and if you do see a great deal, because as Michael mentioned, like you still can, but look and see if there's creative financing involved. Look and see like how the higher returns are achieved. What is new about this whole scenario that makes this actually happen? Because they will be out there, but like they might not be also.
Yeah, exactly. And make sure that the operator or the person, you know, who presented the deal to you is like not trying to push rents by significant amounts every single year, year after year. We've reduced our underwriting now because we have no idea what's going to happen in the future. So make sure you're really digging into what the drivers of increase of NOI are. For that specific deal. What we're looking for currently is we're looking on taking lower leverage, as I kind of mentioned, and then looking for the seller financing too, the seller financing piece in there. We're looking for lower leverage, long-term fixed debt. I've always been a proponent of never going with floating rate anyways. And as you can see throughout our investment thesis for the past, you know, since 2020, you can check out our investment thesis and it stays the same. Basically, we always love long-term fixed rate debt anyways, because it allows us to hold through any economic storm and uncertainty, which is nice. And we've positioned all of our assets very well in that manner. So we can sell or don't sell depending on the market cycle that we're actually in. We also want to ensure that the resident demographics support the market rents needed in order to add value. Again, this is going back to looking at the income growth, the gross income growth for that specific market. If it's negative, don't expect to raise rents, right? If it's positive, how much is it positive, right? How much can you afford to raise rents without pricing out the residents, right? So just look at those factors in that specific market. And when you're reviewing deals as an investor as well, make sure that the operator understands what the gross income growth is for that market.
Well, I was just thinking about like, this is also a great time to ask sponsors, like how much they've involved their property management company in knowing what the market rent should be and what the area comps are, because part of a property manager's job is to do a market survey monthly, if not weekly, to make sure that like their rents are very similar to the same asset classes in that area. And so having involved a property management company before you have like determined what your rents are going to be is huge.
Absolutely. 100%. Yeah. And the last thing that we want to talk about is like, hey, when you're looking at deals from operators, look at their track record as asset managers, right? See if they've managed difficult projects. See how, and they should tell you these things too. Like talk about like some bad things that happened on the properties and how they mitigated those, right? Or how they handled those specific problems themselves. Because proven asset management techniques during this economic uncertainty and potential looming recession is really what is going to make or break a deal. And it's going to allow the asset to thrive during an economic downturn.
So thank you so much, you know, for listening to this episode and going over like the five different topics where we explained the 2023 multifamily outlook. Again, to go over those, the first one was the current state of multifamily. The second topic was the growing economic uncertainty. The third one was current multifamily performance. The fourth was three reasons why apartments perform well during a recession or an economic downturn. And the fifth one was how we were looking at deals during this time and what investors should expect. So if you have any questions, as always, please reach out. And if you want more of this data, please let us know and we will give it to you.
Absolutely. Really hope you enjoyed this episode. We really hope that we are able to share some data that we found with our adventurous family. So to really explain what's going to happen in 2023 or what is expected to happen based on drivers, data drivers for economic drivers, really for multifamily. So anyways, thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for tuning in. We appreciate you as a listener, and we wish everybody a very happy new year and a great 2023. And until next time, explore more, adventure awaits.
Oh! Thank you so much for listening. Before you start your next adventure of the day, please take a moment to reflect on the impact that you want to make. All of our efforts combined are what make the monumental impacts. We can't do it without you.
Also, if you enjoyed the episode, please head over to iTunes and leave us an honest review with one of the great insights you received from the show today. And if you believe a friend, family member, or colleague would find great value in listening, please share our podcast with them. As always, your support means the world to us.
Until next time, explore more. Adventure awaits. Woo!